Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, remember where he'd been baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And the devil led him up on a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They'll lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Giving things up. Now, the secular world is not averse to giving things up too, especially if it leads to losing a few pounds and better health. So you hear, "I'm giving up chocolate for Lent." And you hear down the fitness club, if you get anywhere near there, I don't, but, "I'm going to stop eating chocolate." You may have seen Songs of Praise today. There was a little bit on there about somebody who, at this time of year, has decided to help out in a charity shop. Now, I'm not knocking acts of kindness. I'm not knocking acts of service at any time of year. Better 6 weeks of service than no service at all. Don't get me wrong. But there's nothing in Scripture that says, in the lead up to Easter, do these things. Actually, it says, well, it tells us to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. Not for a 6 week trial, daily. Not just for 40 days, every day. Denying ourselves and taking up our cross. Now, as I say, my purpose this evening is not to offend anybody who finds it positive to have a structure to their lives like this. But can I just encourage you to take it beyond the 40 days and take it every day with the Lord? See, a lot of religion, particularly, it's all energized by self, isn't it? It's what I do. But our Christian faith is what Christ has done. It's all of grace. By grace we are saved. We're not saved by works. Works will follow on that grace. The Christian life isn't you doing your best. It's you letting God by his Spirit do his best for his glory. And that is completely to turn things upside down almost on their heads. The man in the street, the man who looks at the religious and in this day of religious soup that exists in all its different flavors just says something like this. Oh, they're all basically the same. They're all trying to do their best, trying to do what they do. Is that all we are? No, Christ has come. God the Son has come into the world, given his life for us, that we might have a new life, a new way, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So life isn't, a Christian life isn't you doing your best. It's you letting God, by his Spirit, do his best. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Not singing that every now and again on a Sunday, but making it the prayer of our hearts every day as we go on our way. Now, I want to look at Luke chapter 4, and God willing, I would like to do that in over a few weeks. A passage about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. That's where it fits. Remember, it follows on from the baptism of the Lord Jesus, the very outset of his ministry. As I say, ironically, the idea of these 40 days actually comes from his 40 days in the wilderness. But I want to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life and consider his work in our life, your life and mine. And tonight I want to look at what I've called the preparation of the Holy Spirit. The preparation of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're doing any sort of job, preparation is key, isn't it? You know, if you're painting, for example, you know, if you don't get the old paint off and you just try and paint over, it never looks as good. You've got to strip it back. You've got to get back to the basics. If you're if you're cooking or baking, you've got to get everything ready, haven't you? You know, have you ever had that experience where you start making something and then you suddenly realize halfway through you haven't got all the ingredients that you needed, and you're stuck, you know, sort of halfway, half baked, literally. Preparation, taking that time to get ready to do a job properly, ultimately can save you a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, and get you where you want to be in the end. Well, as I read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit in the desert. Now, perhaps like me, you're asking, wasn't there an easier path? Could it not have been done some other way? Having had the baptism and the magnificence of that moment in the River Jordan, then to go to the wilderness, could there not have been an easier path? When you put the two together, and we should do because they flow on one passage to the next, what a contrast. The contrast could not be starker between the two. The Jordan and the desert. From the river and the water and the flora and the fauna that grows to the barrenness of the wilderness. There in the Jordan, this is my beloved Son. The certainty in the wilderness, if you are the Son of God, the seeds of doubt. In the Jordan, the serene. To the wilderness, the dangerous. The Holy Spirit led Jesus. But as we read into this chapter, it speaks of how the devil led Jesus. Not into sin, for he was without sin, but the devil led him. Yet Jesus continued, even in such a dangerous situation, to be obedient in every way. And there in the Jordan, of course, there was surrender, fulfilling all righteousness. Jesus fulfilling the Father's will and purpose, there was surrender. But then in the wilderness, no surrender. There was battle, there was conflict. And so the switch from one to the other As I say, it's very, very stark. Tested through temptation. The temptation for physical ease, no, says Jesus. The temptation of spiritual ease, you can have it all, no, says Jesus again. Spiritual confusion, well, what about this verse? It says this, no, 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 no. Yet note the constant in his changing circumstances. He went from the Jordan to the wilderness and everything changed in those moments. But he didn't change. And why did he not change? Because he was full of the Holy Spirit. And Luke stresses it again and again and again. In fact, three times. Chapter 3, verse 22. Chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 14. Having come out of the temptation, he went forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let's just take a step back on this just for a moment. Let's get our doctrine, our understanding right on this. God is one, yet God is three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And at the baptism, the Father is heard to speak, "This is my beloved Son." The Spirit is seen descending on the Son as a dove. And there is the Son in the water, fulfilling righteousness in humble obedience. There is this perfect, we use the word Trinity, perfect relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus did only what the Father told him to do. And he did what he did only in the power of the Holy Spirit. Perfect in everything that he did. Well, that's wonderful. What a wonderful Saviour we have. And this is how he came through this challenge. And this is how he comes through every challenge in the Gospels. You remember in the Old Testament, the Israelites went into a desert, not for 40 days, but for 40 years. Unwisely, they rejected God's ways. And a generation defeated in disobedience died in the wilderness. Again, what a contrast, as Jesus' perfect obedience makes it possible for us to enter into all God's blessings in Christ. Why this encounter? Was there not an easier path? I've raised that question already. Well, surely here is something of the preparation of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life. He didn't have it easy. He didn't somehow just steer clear of trouble. He was a man of sorrows. He knew trials and troubles and temptation. Now, when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, when we talk about the Holy Spirit himself, I want to just bring before you three aspects of the Holy Spirit's character and work. Okay, he's not just some force, he is personal, a person of the Trinity. And I want to bring before you just three aspects. There are many other facets, but these will, I think, be sufficient. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, he is referred to as the Spirit of Wisdom. A characteristic of wisdom. And in Ephesians 17, Paul is praying that the church, you and me, will know him more, will have more and more wisdom, will know him more and be helped to make the wise decisions that we need to make. Letting the devil taunt and tempt Jesus in the wilderness at first doesn't seem a wise move. Putting him in danger, putting him on his own, in isolation in such a situation, doesn't look smart. In a military campaign, you don't want to be isolated like that. But I read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, in thinking about this. where it says, because he, that's Jesus himself, suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. There is method in what seemed madness. For what Jesus went through is to help you and me. Oh, thanks, Sean. You can face and conquer temptation like Jesus did. How? With the help he provides by his Holy Spirit. He suffered. He went through that. And we benefit from it. The wisdom of God. It was a wise move for the Holy Spirit to lead Jesus this way. And that wisdom is seen in how he can help those the enemy tempts today. It's the way that you and I can be victorious. Now, thinking of our world and thinking of all that goes on in it, the wisdom of the so-called world. I'm reminded of Paul's question, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? We live in a very smart age, don't we? Smart this, smart that, smart the other. But as for wisdom, you have to wonder. What we know causes us to realize how much more there is to know. That's about as smart as we are. Man's wisdom and pride is to fail to acknowledge God. To try and go it alone without God. Facing fire, facing flood, facing disease across the world. Where is the turning to God, our Creator? Where is the crying out to the Lord? Yet God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. The world and its ways has no answer. In its smartness, the answer is in Christ. And the foolishness of preaching the gospel, as we heard this morning, that gospel message saves those who believe. And the work of the Spirit of wisdom, reveals that to us. The Father has given the Spirit of wisdom so that we might know him better. As I say, Paul's prayer is that God would fill us more and more so that we can know him more and more. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He's also the Spirit of truth in John chapter 16 and verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. Well, we live in the 21st century. And it seems to be a century where nobody believes in absolutes anymore. The question that Pilate asked of Jesus echoes still around, what is truth? It's true for you. And people say, well, but it's not true for me. How can it not be? It's true. If it's true, it's true for all of us. But you know as well as I do, we live in a world of fake news. People don't know what to believe. And worse than that, then there's cover-ups and deception and people twisting the truth, spinning the truth. What is truth? Can't you see how the father of lies is at work? Yet the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he is at work too. Praise God. Now the devil sought to challenge Jesus' mission and understanding of God's word, the truth. And again, how important was it that Jesus was able to say, it is written. Here's the absolute. Here's the truth. What God has written, what God has spoken in his word. That is our baseline. That is our foundation. Jesus retorted to such an attack. Jesus declared the truth. And living in that truth is how our Saviour showed us to live. We have God's word. How blessed are we to have God's word? The gospel truth. If you weren't with us this morning, you've got to hear the CD from this morning's message. What a message. From the old, the gospel, just there. Wonderful. We have the word, and we have, if we're believers this evening, God's Holy Spirit within us, illuminating the page to us as we read his word. I've not yet heard how the house groups went with the idea of just reading a passage and discussing it in a rather more informal way without the safety net of questions. I'm going to try it again this month. And if I'm not on that gibbet hung up out there, which looks like it's set for the Feast of Purim, if I survive a couple more weeks, because it's so important that you, read the word and ask the Lord to speak to you through it. That the Spirit of God would show you, as the Spirit of truth, the truth of God's word. Because in knowing the truth, we are set free. Set free, and indeed kept free, as we go on knowing the truth. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom, he's the Spirit of truth. And think of Pentecost, well, in other times too, he's the Spirit of power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now again, truth has spun round so many times in this world, you feel dizzy trying to find it. Wisdom, well, is there any wisdom in this world that goes headlong away from God? Power. Well, you see power at work. You see those with the power or would like to think they have the power. The smart suits, the big offices, the big paychecks or whatever. However you define worldly power. Yet come back with me to the wilderness. Jesus was at his weakest, going without food for so long. Yet his spiritual food kept him strong within. Even at his weakest, he was too strong for the devil. Please note that. The devil tried his angel of light routine, but to no avail. Jesus remained resolute in the power of the Spirit. This is where power and strength are found. That spiritual strength and power the Holy Spirit gives. I read to you from Thessalonians. I hope that wasn't a curveball, or I hope it didn't distract from what I'd read earlier. But I was struck with the way that Paul speaks about the sanctifying work of the Spirit in 2 Thessalonians. And within that passage, again, the wisdom of the Spirit, the truth of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit are seen. God's wisdom. For Paul says, God chose you to be saved. You know, if we were to populate Mars from this planet, who do you think, who would we send? Trump. we'd send the powerful and the influential, so maybe Trump would be on there, yeah? We'd send the intellectual, wouldn't we? We'd send the big, you know, Mr. Scientist, he'd be on there. If you think about it, we'd send the athletic, I think, as well, wouldn't we? You know, the really strong, physically fit. You know, populate Mars. That's what we would do. But there again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul tells us this is not how God did it. He chose you, he chose me. Not many of us were influential. Not many of us, you know, had much going for us at all. You know, how am I on the team? How are you on the team? Well, man would have chosen the most intellectual, the athletic, the influential, the cream, the top 0.5% of the population. But God chose you in Christ. God chose you to be saved. As I say, it's not the world's wisdom, it's God's wisdom applied by the Holy Spirit. And within those verses that I read, God's truth is spoken of in these verses through belief in the truth, through our gospel, holding to the teachings we passed on to you. Truth, 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 Paul says. You became part of the family. You were saved through your faith. And since then, you've fed yourself on the truth, believing the truth, taking hold of the gospel, and holding on to the teachings. God's rescue rope is his word. In it, the way from darkness to light is found. From death to life, from separation from God to eternal life in his glorious presence. It all runs through Scripture. It's like a rescue rope, and you've got to hold on to it. It lifts us up from the mire, lifting us to God. But we must hold to the rope in the rescue, aided by the Holy Spirit. Because there at the end of what I read to you, it talks about standing firm. Yes, we've got to do our part. But what about this? May our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father strengthen you in every good deed and word. Stand firm, yes, and be assured of the strength of God to make it through. It's not just holding on to, as I said, the rope, as it were, of salvation. Your fingers are slipping down. I was never very good on the ropes at school. You know, that sort of... No, he's underneath us as well, holding us. We must hold on, but he holds on to us too. The Spirit of power. The Holy Spirit equips the believer to know God's wisdom, truth, and power. Now, let me just wrap this up a little bit this evening. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. Okay, that's very clear from Scripture. He works within us to reveal Jesus to us, and then in us. We are brought to see who Jesus is, to love him, to realize what he's done for us. That's the Spirit's work. Yes, we see our sin as well. We are convicted of that. And we're just so glad we have a Savior, one to rescue us from ourselves and our sins. But the Spirit goes on working and preparing our lives, revealing Jesus to us and in us. The preparation leads to a purpose, and God willing, I want to look at the purpose next week. But just thinking about the Spirit and those attributes that I've mentioned of his wisdom, truth, and power, let me just ask you in application, do you need wisdom in a situation that you're in at the moment? Do you need it? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Did you hear that? He gives wisdom. He gives his Spirit. He promises to help. It's a wonderful promise to take hold of. Do you need to know the truth this evening and to be set free by it? Well, you might say, well, I am a Christian. I know, I understand the truth of the gospel. But it says in John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus said that to those who were critical of him. Through the truth they would come to see who he was, who he is. Obeying Jesus' teachings liberates us. As you give yourself to him as Savior, it sets you free. And as you give yourself to him daily as Lord, it keeps you free. Because the danger is, as Christians, we kind of, you know, we go through perhaps a good time of walking with the Lord, and then with some, for some strange reason unknown to man, we suddenly begin to think, oh, we can do this ourselves now. How foolish. We get snared again. It's only as we realize the truth that sets us free, that we are kept free. And do you need this evening strength for what you face? Well, you'd be unique if you didn't need strength for what you're facing. Everybody needs the help of the Lord. Not everybody knows that. Many try and lean on others and topple over as well. But the Lord offers his power, his strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, says God's word. We can face and conquer, powered by God. If anyone serves, he should do it in the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Note that, in the strength that God provides. What you need is there. If you draw from him, he'll give you the strength that you need. In fact, if you're not drawing from him, actually you're robbing him of his glory. It's in doing it yourself. The Lord is the power provider. Any other source of strength robs God of his glory. So don't waste your time with any other supply. Have thine own way, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit fill you with his wisdom, truth, and power. Let him prepare you for service. And in the process, he's preparing you too for glory. That's the wonder, isn't it? That's the wisdom of God, that he could be working in this certain area. And he can see the bigger picture too. He can see this momentary need, but he can see how that can be a blessing for something else along the further along the line. For he's the Spirit of wisdom and truth and power. Can you see in your own life how you're being prepared by the Holy Spirit? Let him lead and guide you, even in life's wilderness. For he'll be there with you, and he'll bring you through it, and the purposes of it will be for the blessing of others too. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. Let him do his work, preparing, as he did for our Lord in the wilderness. Let him do it in you this week and in the days to come. Amen. Heavenly Father, that is our response to your word and to the work and prompting of your Spirit in our hearts. We want to go on and go forward with you in faith this week to do what you would have us do, Lord, relying and depending upon you every step of the way. So seal this word in our hearts, Lord. Keep before us every day, not just at this time before Easter, but every day, what our Saviour went through for us, even in his temptation. And again, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the way you overcame this. And you're there with us to help us in our temptation. May we walk as conquerors in victory. May we walk in the strength and power your Holy Spirit provides. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the encouragement of meeting together this day. How good it has been to be in your house, one with another. Lord, as the week now unfolds, we will see each other during the week, but there will be times when perhaps we are a little vulnerable, a little exposed to the, Lord, the world and its ways. Protect us, guard us, keep us close to yourself, and bring us through for your glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.